Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles and you're going to follow along, we'll be in the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm chapter 77, and we'll read some verses there and look at a few other places this morning as well. As you're turning to the book of Psalms in chapter 77, just want to welcome everyone here this morning. We still have quite a few people who are sick and recovering from sicknesses, but it's good to see all of you here. And if you're visiting with us, we want you just to know that we're thankful you're here. Hope that while you're here, you see a couple things. We hope that you see a group of God's people, and we hope that you see a group of God's people trying to follow God's way. That's what we aim to do here, and we hope that you can see that in what we have done this morning, what we will continue to do. Just a reminder for the men of the congregation here, we are doing something new this year. We decided to not let all the ladies have all the fun. We are going to have a men's study, and it will be this Tuesday night. We'll have this once a month, and instead of meeting here at the building like we have done in some years past, we were going to be starting to meet in people's homes, and we'll have some food before and get to be together with one another, and then have a study. This year's study is going to be about training all of us as men to be leaders in the congregation and leaders at home. And I think it's going to be very beneficial. So there's information in the bulletin that you'll see, but it's going to be this Tuesday at our house, and it will be our first one. And we invite all the men, doesn't matter how young or how old you are, come and partake in that. I think it will be really beneficial for you. But again, there's more information in the bulletin for you there. You know, when you have to wake up a couple times in the middle of the night to feed a newborn, Netflix and Hulu become one of your best friends. And so Brooke and I were always trying to find new shows because we were getting up in the middle of the night to feed Wilson. One show that I had always wanted, because I love history and I love just the behind-the-scenes look into things like that, is The West Wing. I've always heard of The West Wing. I never watched The West Wing. Some of you watched that while it was airing. And I have loved that show. But now Wilson's sleeping through the night and I'm not getting to watch it. And Brooke's at home during the day, and she's watching it without me, and I'm a little upset about that, but I'll let it slide. But there was something that happened in one of the episodes, and it really made me think. And if you don't know what The West Wing is, it's about the White House, and it follows the president and his upper administrators, and just the dealings of the White House and conflicts they have to endure, and working with the Senate and the House, and what happens in our country, and all those different things. But there was one episode, one moment in particular, and it really got me thinking. And what you see is you see the president sitting at his desk in the Oval Office, and you have his top four or five staff members. And as they're all discussing the issues at hand, they all have different opinions, and they're all kind of arguing back and forth on what they think needs to be done. They say, well, I think this, and then this one will interject, well, I think this needs to happen, and the other interjects, and I think this needs to happen, and they're all going back and forth, and before too long, they forgot that the president was sitting at his desk, and he had grown very quiet. And so you have his top four or five people all bickering back and forth, all arguing in the president's office, the most powerful person in our country, is sitting there at his desk, completely silent, and all these people are arguing, and when they finally notice that the president is sitting there silent, they grow silent as well. The president said something. He says, I think you all need to remember where you are and who it is you're speaking to. And it just got awkwardly silent for a minute. And all of a sudden, the top four or five staff members said, yes, sir, Mr. President. When you look at the realm of Christianity today, and when you look at how many different kinds of forms of religion in the realm of Christianity there are today, it's almost like what has happened is you have all these different people, and you look over the last couple thousand years since Christ has walked this earth and the one church that we see in the book of Acts to where we are today, 2,000 years later. And it's almost like what happened in that episode in the Oval Office. You have everybody else bickering back and forth, saying, well, I think this way. Well, I think this way. And I think this way. And I think this. And this needs to happen. And this needs to happen. And it's almost like we've forgotten the most important one. Sometimes I think what we need to do as followers of Christ and as believers in an all-powerful God is to take a moment of silence, to take a step back and remember two things. Remember where we are and who it is we're speaking to. It's hard when we go throughout our everyday lives, when we leave this building, to be a follower of Christ in the midst of a society that is trying to pull us in so many different directions. It's hard to be reminded on a daily basis of who our God is and what He expects of us. It's hard to go into work or to go into the schools today and to be part of this world but not of this world. And it's hard to live life the way God wants us to live because there are so many other different influences and opinions out there all trying to pull us in different directions. And sometimes the noise in our head gets so loud that we forget. Not that we forget about God because we believe in God, we're followers of Christ, but we almost just forget the severity and the seriousness of what it is you and I are supposed to be doing as followers of God. And we get so wrapped up in the inner workings of what goes on in our everyday lives. We get so wrapped up in what goes on in the religious world. And we see all these different signs on buildings. And we say, well, I don't agree. And we don't agree. And we go back and forth. And say, well, sometimes we just need to take a moment. And remember who our God is. Why it's so important to serve Him. And why it's so important to serve Him His way. I want to read to you what the psalmist says in Psalm 77. And if you turn there already, you're in the right spot. And if you haven't, Psalm 77. And I want to read to you starting in verse 13. Many times when we read psalms, we read a psalm of David. But this is actually a psalm of Asaph, someone a little different. And he starts in verse 13 is where we'll start this morning. He says, "Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary." Some of your versions will say, "Your way, O God, is holy. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." Selah. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Verse 16 says, The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in a whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This morning we're going to look at what verse 13 had to say. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? Sometimes we just need to take that break, take that step back and remember who we are and who we're talking to. We serve an awesome God. And I want you to notice a few things that the psalmist brings up and why he thought God was so great. And he poses this question, already knowing the answer. Is there any God as mighty as you? Out of all the gods in the world, are there any other gods that can do the things you can do? And he says, he mentions a few things in verse 14 and 15. He says, "You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." And he says, "Selah." That's a Hebrew term. You'll see that in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Psalms several times. And that's a Hebrew term. And what he's asking us to do is to stop there in the middle of this psalm. When you see that word, Selah, he's saying whoever wrote the Psalms and they interject that word, they say, now stop for a second and reflect back on what was just said. It means he's trying to make a point. So he says, I want you to stop. I want you to pause and reflect on what I just said in this psalm. And so that's where he gets to that, the end of this point, and he says, stop and reflect. Which means this is something we want to remember. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? He says, you are a God that is powerful, that is of strength. Some of your versions might put words in, instead of saying you are a God of strength, you are a God of power. A powerful or an awesome God. We sing a song like that, don't we? Our God is an awesome God. Or as we'll read in just a minute, some of those verses he was talking about, it's terrifying. Not in a way like we're afraid, like a horror movie. But the power and the awesomeness of God is something that is terrifying. I want you to think of all the ways God has shown His strength to His people. He mentions a couple ways in those Psalms. He says, the waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows are all flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. He's saying, God, you are a powerful God. That the waters, the depths of the waters. You know how many people are afraid to go into the ocean? I'll do it, but I personally just get this eerie feeling whenever I go into the ocean and I can't touch the bottom. I don't mind it in a swimming pool. But there's something about the ocean. Why? Because that's not my habitat. The depths of the waters. Our oceans go miles and miles deep. Things that we can't even fathom. Things that scientists don't even know about the deepest parts of our ocean yet because they're so deep. He says, the depth of the waters also trembled. The clouds pour out your water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in a whirlwind. The lightning, you know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like what you and I would refer to as tornado season, doesn't it? Talks about the clouds and the lightning and the thunder. He says, your voice is in a whirlwind. How many times have you heard a tornado? And what does we say it sounds like? It sounds like a train is barreling through. Well, this psalmist says, I don't know if he's talking exactly about a tornado, but he says whirlwind. He says, your voice is in the whirlwind. He's trying to make this point that when we look out in this world, sometimes I believe it's God reminding us who He is and how powerful He is. That we look at the clouds and the lightning and the thunder and the rain and the whirlwinds and everything. He says the earth trembled and shook. He talks about these earthquakes. He's saying you are a strong, powerful, awesome, and terrifying God. The book of Hebrews would say that our God is a consuming fire. I think of the children on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, where they sent Moses up to the top of the mountain, and God had him put a boundary around the mountain, and he says, if any of the children of Israel cross over this boundary, they will be put to death. And then when Moses is up on the mountain, it says it was like a fire up on that mountain. There was thunder, there was lightning, the earth was quaking, the people were afraid. Puts into perspective of who our God is. He's a strong God. It's also the God that marched a little-known people of the children of Israel that had been enslaved for 400 years and wandered around for another 40 years, not trained in battle, but it's also the God that marched them right into the promised land and conquered armies. It's the God that gave the little boy David enough strength to face a giant. It's the God that went into the most powerful person in the world at that point, like we looked at last week, and said, "Let my people go." And when the most powerful man in the world said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" God showed his strength. It's the God who can command oceans to stop, the waves and the winds and the storms to cease. He's a God of strength. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse 21, he's a God of wonders. Listen to what Moses told the children of Israel there. He says, "He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen." That's what the psalmist said. You are the God who does wonders. I think sometimes of what these men and women, the children of Israel, all throughout the course of their history, what they were able to see with their eyes. And sometimes, like I said at the beginning, we just get so busy with our lives. We get so busy raising kids. We get so busy with our jobs. We get busy figuring out who's right and who's wrong in this religious world. We get so busy and so caught up in so many different things. Sometimes we just forget the wonders that we read about in the Bible were real. And the God we serve is a God of wonders. I think when you look at some of those verses about what the rain and the clouds and the thunder and the lightning do. Verse 19, he says, "Your way was in the sea. Your path is in the great waters and your footsteps were not known." We serve a God of wonders. We serve a God who created this world. Who all he had to do was speak into existence the things that you and I take for granted today. We serve a God who spoke those things into existence. We serve a God who is capable and responsible of so many different miracles that demonstrate his strength and power. It's amazing to me how much water it must have taken to flood this earth. Yet God was able to do it. It's amazing to me that he was able to speak to Moses through a burning bush, yet the bush did not burn. It's a wonder how that happened. It's amazing to me, as I mentioned a moment ago, that he could take a group of nobodies, a group of slaves, and turn them into an army to defeat the nations in the land of Canaan. It's amazing to me that as they were battling, he was able to stop the sun so the battle could go on. It's amazing to me that he takes the little guy and he makes him into somebody great. It's amazing that a boy could defeat a giant. It's amazing that walls came tumbling down when all they did was march and blow and shout. It's a wonder to me how Jesus could look at a dead girl and say, "Rise." It's a wonder how someone who has not been able to see his whole life could put mud on his eyes and see. It's amazing how his apostles could be fearing for their lives in the middle of a storm, and all Jesus has to say is, "Peace, be still." It's amazing that Jesus was dead and walked out of that grave. Our God is a God of wonders. Things that you and I possibly can't even imagine. But he's a God that's capable of them. He's a God who has done these great things and awesome things, which maybe our eyes, because we're not those people being talked to in the book of Deuteronomy, our eyes have not seen, but our ears have heard. But I believe our God is a God of wonders even today. Because our God is a God of redemption. And you look at what that psalmist says, that you, with your strong arm in verse 15, you have redeemed your people. Later on at the very end, he says, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." the same powerful and awesome and wonderful God that we see in the Old Testament and through the pages of the New Testament is the same awesome and wonderful and powerful God that you and I serve today, because He is a God of redemption. And I think it's amazing that this powerful God who has created this world, whose voice is heard in the thunder and the whirlwind, who sends the flashing lightning, who sends these things, that He's a consuming fire. I think it's amazing that the way the psalmist ends this psalm is, by Your strong arm, You have led Your people like a flock. That although our God is great and powerful, He's awesome, He's terrifying, He's a God that will take us by the hand and walk us to where we need to go. Isn't that amazing? It's almost the picture you get of your father, isn't it? No matter who you are, if you had that father figure in your life, you always look up to that man. He's someone who's great and powerful and strong. My dad can beat up your dad. I really believed that till I hit 5'7" and was an inch taller than my dad, then I knew I could beat up my dad. I'm kidding. He still tells me, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. I say, yeah. But everyone has this view of dad as they're strong, they're mighty. That's dad. But it's also the dad that you go to when you need a hug, when you need comforting, when you want a bedtime story, who will carry you to bed, whatever it is. We all have those memories, don't we? I don't want us to view God as our dad. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm trying to just get a mental picture in our mind that we have this great and powerful and awesome God who we need to view as He is the strongest. He's the epitome of strength. But yet He's also the one that will lead us, that will guide us. He gave His people the promised land, brought them back from captivity when they were carried off. He continually, when His children turned against Him, He was there to redeem them. But most importantly, He sent His Son. I couldn't help but to think of the parallel here for a moment, that when we go back to that example at the beginning, and all those administrators in the president's office were arguing back and forth on who was right, who was wrong. The president just sat there silent. Everyone had their own opinion, but they forgot to factor in whose opinion really mattered, and that was the president of the United States. And then I look back at the Old Testament, and I look at how the Old Testament Jews, they all thought their opinion was right. They did what was right in their own eyes, the text tells us. They got away from what God wanted them to do. And so what God did at the end of the Old Testament, He went silent. And He went silent for almost 400 years. Almost as if to say, you need to remember who you're dealing with. And just in case we forgot, or those Old Testament Jews forgot who they were dealing with, He was going to remind them. In the greatest showing of strength, in the greatest showing of wonders that we have ever experienced, and in the greatest story of redemption, He was going to remind them who they were dealing with. And so He sent His Son. We need to remember, and this is what this year is about, who it is we're serving. Who it is that we have as our God. And that's why we started where we did in verse 13. He says, your way are holy. We have to remember that if you and I have any hope at eternal life, Jesus says that the only way to the Father is through me. That we have to do it His way. And that might sound, and some people want to argue, well, that's what a dictator would say. It has to be my way or the highway. And I've heard so many arguments against Christianity, against following God, because of that. God's just a dictator. He gives you a list of rules of things that he expects out of you. And if you don't do it my way, then you can't come into heaven. I say, or look at the other side of this. That we serve a God who is strong and powerful and wonderful, but yet we have a God who does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And he's trying to show us the way. He's trying to show us how to live righteously. He's trying to show us how to live a holy life. That although this God is strong and powerful and one to be feared, he is one to be loved and adored and worshiped because of what he has done. When we can realize who our God is, that there is no other God as mighty as him, that's when we can remember that his ways are holy. They're set apart. They're sanctified. They make us holy. What does this mean for you and I? That our God is the only one. When you look at this question, is there any God as mighty as you? Our God is the only God who was willing to give something so his people could prosper. Our God is the only God who would sacrifice himself. Think of the strength that took. Our God is the only God who is not only capable of the strength and the wonders and the power that we see throughout Scriptures. And he's capable of setting all that aside, but he's also capable of humbling himself and coming to the earth. Like was mentioned earlier in the service, he was all God, but also all man. Sometimes we need a reminder of who it is we're dealing with. That God should not be some forgotten about mythological creature. God should not be some forgotten about deity that we serve once a week or maybe twice, if you're good. That God should not be some forgotten about thing as we go throughout school and work and friends and family. But he is God. He's the powerful and wonderful creator. He's the God of the Old Testament that demonstrated his strength and power over the nations of the world. He's the God of the New Testament that demonstrated his strength and power over sin. He's the God of redemption and forgiveness. He's the God that wants to spend eternity with every single one of us and so gave us his Son so that that can be possible. He's the God that wants you and I to be holy just like he is holy, he says in the book of Leviticus, and Peter does again in 1 Peter chapter 1. And so why do we as Christians, why do we act the way we do and live the way we live and don't do certain things and do certain things? And it's because we serve a God who is awesome and powerful. We are in the presence of a God who is awesome and powerful. And so our God deserves respect. Our God deserves honor. He deserves glory. And he deserves our obedience. Why? Because as the psalmist said, is there any God as mighty as you? I want to leave you with one last illustration from, I believe it was the same episode later when the president said, let's not forget where you are and who it is you're talking to. He went out into a gathering of people at the White House. They were all there for a certain banquet. And it's a tradition in our country that when the president walks into a room, this is still a tradition today, when the president walks into a room, everyone stands. Why? It's a show of honor and respect and that he's in charge. He's the most powerful man in our country. And so we walked into this room, and it was a group of writers. And there was one writer that didn't particularly like him very much, and she stayed in her seat. No one thought anything of it. And he walked right up to her. He kind of gave it to her for some other things that were going on in the show. And after he puts her in her place, he says one thing. He says, by the way, he says, it's customary in this country when your leader and chief walk into the room, you stand and show some respect. And boy, in the midst of all her colleagues, she felt this small, and she slowly stood up, and he just walked out of the room. I think sometimes we need a reminder when we're out in our everyday lives. As we mentioned, Wayne mentioned at the very beginning, God is always present with us. We serve a great and awesome and powerful God. Is there any God who is like Him? And if He is always in our presence, I believe it should be customary to show the respect and honor and obedience that He deserves. Because He is our God. As we go through this year, we're going to continue to look at who our God is and why He deserves all that we have. And why His ways are so precious and so holy, as the psalmist said in Psalm 77. But as we leave here, and as we get distracted by so many things, like we all do, try once a day. Maybe it's at the start of your day before you get busy and we get distracted. Maybe it's at the end of your day before you lay your head on your pillow. Try once a day to remind yourself of the God that we serve. Try once a day to ask yourself that question that was asked. Who is as great of a God as our God? And then live your day like we are in the presence of an awesome and powerful God. Worship here this morning and tonight as we come back here throughout the week on Wednesdays. Worship like we are in the presence of our awesome and great God. Speak like we are in the presence of our awesome and great God. Live like we are in the presence of our awesome and great God. Life might change a little bit. But is there a God greater than ours? I don't think so. Maybe you're here this morning. This is the first you've considered how great God is, how wonderful He is. Maybe this is the first time you've really considered and trying to put some of these pieces together through scriptures that God is an awesome and terrifying and powerful God. He's a God of wonders, but He's a God of redemption. That He's always taking care of His people and He wants to take care of you too. He has given us His invitation to come to Him, to be buried in the waters of baptism, so that you and I could walk in newness of life, so that you and I could be in His presence for all eternity. You want to make that happen today? You want to obey our awesome and wonderful God today? There's going to be a moment here when we're going to sing this song. And if you need to give your life to Him, or if you just need to get your life back on track, you need studies, prayers, whatever you need, we're here to help. There's a group of God's people who are trying every day to serve our great and awesome God. And we want to help you do that too. If we can do anything for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.